Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Motion. Smith left to right. Hurts pitches it up to Goddard. Touchdown!
Little shovel pass.
Another shovel pass to Goddard.
Little shovel pass.
Well, one of two to Dallas Goddard yesterday. Similar in nature, creative, and effective. Good morning to you. Twitter poll question of the day really gets to the heart of a lot of what we're talking about here on the pros and the cons of what went on yesterday. Twitter poll brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. What's the Armin difference? It's simple. It's Armin's people. Well-trained, friendly, and caring. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Poll question from yesterday's game. You thinking more about the positives or the negatives? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. Let me give you a big old positive. Has nothing to do with yesterday's game. Phillies playoffs starting 5 days! 5 days to Citizens Bank Park, Red October, the Phils and the Reds. And if you do not know, WIP will have a big old pep rally, a Red October rally, that is, on Friday, the day before the game, as not our program, because we're always at Borgata on Fridays, but the other two shows that follow us, Joe and Hugh, Spike and Ike, their programs from 10 to 6 p.m. will be at Stateside Live. Right there in the sports complex, that is, of course, what formerly called Xfinity Live. So Stateside Live, the program's 8 hours of WIP right there, right by the ballpark. And I hope you can certainly listen, but if you want to get there, please do, because it should be quite a day, the day before it all goes down, or at least starts going down, at Citizens Bank Park with Game 1. All right, 215-592-9494. We'll get to the Bat of the Bone Award coming up soon. On the Eagles' win. Look, here's where I'm at big picture on that victory. For me, much more positive than negative. Much more. I thought the first half was as well as this group has played. And I say this group, I mean this era of Eagles football. Other than the Super Bowl and probably the second half of the NFC Championship game versus Washington, people forget that was actually a close game till near halftime. And then it was the second half when the Eagles put it on Washington last year. I thought the first half was about as well as the Eagles have played in this whole era. And I was incredibly encouraged with Jalen's performance in that half and just the way the offense hummed. Defense was doing its thing. The Bucs, being pretty good didn't matter. The Heat didn't matter. And I thought, my team has arrived. And that sounds weird because they already won a Super Bowl, but I felt like they had taken it up to a higher level, and I could say this is what they can be consistently moving forward. Then you see the second half, and it's a reminder, no. They are a team that often wins via the root canal. And it's frustrating. I mean, it is. And we're going to continue to diagnose the whys. And here's the thing. Last year I told you oftentimes I thought it was primarily Jalen holding them back. This year it's far more complex. He is having his moments clearly where he is struggling in stretches. But the offensive line is struggling more. Saquon is struggling a ton. The play calling may be struggling dramatically. Now, it's a little hard to discern. Because, when you put that much together, is it definitively Petula or not? I'm still not. John, you think it is? Do you think Petula is part of the problem, even though they're 4-0?
Yeah, he's the offensive coordinator. He's the play caller. Yes, he's absolutely part of the problem, but so is Sirianni. So is Jalen Hurts. So is A.J. Brown. So it's everyone working together, and so is Lane Johnson, whether he's in or whether he's out. Dickerson's name. Both of our guards have been struggling in major ways. Dickerson, just watch the way he's been struggling in pass protection. It's tough to be battling moving backwards when you got banged up wheels. Like, that is a – it's a tough – It's a tough ask. And you got Steen on the other side. He's in and out with injuries. And, yeah, they are sort of – they're making do right now up front, the offensive line. And then when you've got a really talented defensive line, you know, led by a guy like Vita Vea, like yesterday, and then you got a defensive coordinator on the other side who's going to – you know, game it up a little bit and stunt those defensive linemen when we've got a compromised offensive line without our best player on with Lane Johnson sitting on the sideline. It's tough to pick up those stunts with the same, you know, level of integrity that we provided for Jalen Hurts previously. So now you got leaks. Now you got that clock in his head sped up. Yeah. And now you got these routes being predictable. You got these routes being, you know, when we need 10, 8. You got these, you know, a lack of motion and everything else. I think A.J. Brown and everyone else who watches or is part of this offense is frustrated. This is a frustrating offense.
Well, it is. So,
but
they win.
It's a week-to-week proposition.
Well, and they always win.
Next week, they'll be better. I know they'll be. They're going to work on.
Well,
these
I don't know that they'll be better.
They'll be. Come on. That's
well. In the first half, they were about as good as they can be.
I expect by the end of the season, just like we're seeing. We'll cross it weird here. Just like we're seeing with the Phillies, you know, sort of peaking at the right time. I saw the Eagles peak at the right time last year.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean they always will. Look, let me.
You're right. It's not easy to pull that off.
It's not. So two things I wrote down before the show, and I believe both are completely true. And, you know, the first is no great team has ever been more maddening. I mean, they drive you nuts. The way that it's almost like we have to suffer through that every game is to survive in advance. But here's the point two. But they do advance. They do win. And point two is I wrote down, but they are great. Truly elite. Likely the best in football again. I've never really, as a sports fan, experienced anything like this. They win via tremendous struggle, yet they always win. So we'll take your reaction on how you view the whole thing. And also the AJ thing, if you're not aware of what AJ did post-game, because you know what AJ did in-game. He had 2 catches for 7 yards. After the game, about 2.5 hours after the game, he went to social media and posted the following. And this is not good. He posted, if you're not welcomed, not listened to, quietly withdraw. Don't make a scene. Shrug your shoulders. And be on your way.
So McLean had his story this morning, and he said that quote was pointed at someone or someone's internally with the Eagles. Two sources close to him said.
What do you mean pointed at? What does that mean?
That
he's referencing his frustration with certain people?
Certain people. I mean, it didn't say teammates. It said someone internally with the Eagles.
Is your sense that it is the offensive creators, meaning the Sirianni's and the Petulas?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I tend to think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we know at times AJ's been frustrated with Jalen in past years. We know that. But I tend to think this one is more about the way the design is being put together by the coaches. But it's not good. And it's something that Sirianni, Hurts, other leaders are going to have to deal with. AJ's a leader himself. Look, I don't know how AJ's held his frustrations in. I think, frankly, he's done a pretty damn masterful job over the last couple of years of holding frustration in. But with that said, I wish he had held this one in too.
I agree with that. He has done a great job of doing the yeoman's work.
Yeah.
You know, like he has developed his run blocking game into where he is dominant. He was always a dominant blocker. I mean, he's a physical marvel out there, but he continues to work on his technique. And, you know, he locks guys down.
With that said, going public with this tweet's not ideal. And it's going to cause him a mess. Look, we'll talk to Sirianni about it tomorrow, 8:40. Nick Sirianni typically with us Tuesdays at 8:40, so we would expect him tomorrow. Ray Dittinger is going to be with us in about 15 minutes. Let's get to Derek right now. Good morning, Derek.
How you doing?
Good, man.
Great, Derek.
Hey, Joe, just real quick. When you say that Jalen Hurts, like they simplify the offense because he can't handle it, like that's sort of like that was like the stigma in like the 80s and 90s for black quarterbacks. So when you say that, man, that just rubs
Well, it's not a racial comment from my end, Derek. Well, Derek, hold on. I'm telling you from my end, it's not a racial comment. You can believe me or not. I'm telling you that. It's how I interpret how the Eagles coaches interpret what is best for him in the offense and what is not. And I think they think, to me, what they do reminds me a lot of the pick and roll, what Stockton and Malone did. There's a simplicity to it. And it can be very, 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 very effective. And obviously is...
There is so much that goes into every single snap that we don't even consider.
Yeah, but a lot of what they do is read option stuff based on Jalen reading that guy on the outside and which way he goes. Does he crash down on a running back or not? And then he makes a decision. But as far as the routes go, and like, is it full field reads? Often it's not, Derek. Often it's not. And I think the Eagles coach it that way.
Anyway, with the AJ Brown thing, right? This is what frustrates me about that. People like Nick Sirianni, when he comes on the radio, he always like defends his guys. Like even with Jalen Carter, so for AJ Brown to put that tweet out, like he has all opportunity to go in there and express whatever his frustrations is to whoever he's frustrated with, without going to Twitter. He has millions and millions of followers, right? So when they ask him questions about it this week, I hope he owns it, right, like a man, because he's the one that put it out there. He didn't have to put that out there. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
He's allowed to be frustrated. Like, he's a receiver. He wants the ball, right? But
yeah.
Don't ever let your emotions, because you're not getting the ball, overshadow a win. Because are you playing to win, or are you playing to get as many yards as you can get, and then you don't care if you win? I just feel like Nick Sirianni does a good job of keeping us out of the locker room, and then A.J. Brown is bringing us in.
Sure.
So if he comes out today or tomorrow and he owns what he said, like a man, I might feel different.
Well,
but all that, like, you know, being deflective and him reading the book on the sideline and trying to play it all off as frustration, that kind of rubs me the wrong way.
All right, so, Derek, I'll tell you this one, man. Appreciate the call. This one's going to be tough. So let me go back to something right before the season started. I was listening to the afternoon show, Spike Ike and that Boban. And they were talking before the season. They had an over-under, I think at 1.5, it may have been 2.5, for pretty significant Eagles controversies in season. And they said, based on last year, they thought last year, and I think they're right about this, they said they thought there were two controversies last year. One was right around this time last year when Sirianni's yelling at fans, we're reacting to that. He's reacting to that. Players are reacting. Like, that was a pretty big story locally and nationally. Sirianni fans, they're 2-2. Everybody's kind of in a bad mood. That was a pretty big one. And then a bigger one was the AJ, Jalen, Brandon Graham thing, which happened right around early December. And they defined those two, and I think they're right, as the two controversies last year. I think this one is one. I if you follow the bouncing ball over the next couple of days,
what
I think
controversy is this one?
AJ and what he tweeted and the ramifications, what it means about him with the coaches, okay, him maybe with the quarterback, him maybe with the team.
What,
like,
about,
is he going to be on the team next year? Like, I think this one over the next 3 to 4 days is going to be, especially there's no Phillies games. Like, I mean, there very soon will be, but like, there's no game tonight, no game tomorrow with the Phillies. I think this is going to be pretty big.
Maybe.
Because it's the first time where I truly wonder if he'll be on the team next year.
Well, I don't know. I don't take it that far. I do wonder if the Nick Sirianni taunting or whatever he was doing with Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, but that's small potatoes.
It is not, Joe.
It's not going to be a major controversy.
How is it different than the last time the Sirianni thing blew up? How is it different?
Well, he's proven he could win a Super Bowl since then, so I think he gets a little bit more leeway.
It speaks to his players.
Rhea, I don't love it.
Let me be clear, I don't love it,
but I'm just saying, do I think it's going to be a controversy on the level of AJ, Jalen, and Brandon Graham last year? No. I'm not saying it's a non-story, guys. I'm just saying, do I think it's going to be a major controversy? No, I don't.
I'm saying it's a problem because the Jalen Carter thing.
I agree with
you. The taunting.
I agree. They,
when their coach is doing that on the sidelines,
I agree.
There's no repercussions for them.
No question.
No, I agree with both of you. I wish he wouldn't do it, and I think it makes him in a compromised spot to tell the guys, hey, guys, knock it off when he's part of it. I mean, I do agree with that. But listen, when AJ tweets... And again, just to be clear, John, because I do think his status for next season comes into question. When he tweets the word withdraw, if you're not welcome, not listened to, quietly withdraw.
Yeah, that's not good.
Like, that could be, hey, I don't want to talk to the media after the game. That could be, hey, I don't want to be on the team after the season. Like, I mean, and so people interpreting it as they will and how they'll answer questions, like, it's a complex situation. I believe very complex. All right, Bat of the Bone Award. When they lose, it's blame balls. But when they win, it's game balls. Let's crank it up with the Bat of the Bone Award. I'm just going to take a stab at it that most of these will be first half focused because, you know, that's when they pretty much won the game. All right, John Ritchie, game ball. Who do you got?
Yeah, I was going to, man, I was going to give it to one of our young cornerbacks. You know, Cooper DeJean led the team in tackles.
They made a lot of plays,
Quinn
both those guys.
Made a lot of amazing coverage plays yesterday on Abuka. But I'm going to give it to the guy who helped contribute to that massive first half lead.
Okay.
With a huge play. Cam Latu, man.
Block punt guy. I agree, John.
Blocks the punt.
Yeah.
Beats the blocking scheme, beats the snapper, and blocks that punt. And then this guy's playing fullback, guys. He's wearing number 36. You know, Brian Westbrook. Oh, man. I love you, man. Yep. Love you. But this guy is kicking out the end man on the line of scrimmage. This guy is lead blocking with Saquon, you know, trying to run behind him.
Apparently not very effectively.
We need better blocking by the offensive line. Cam Latu can't do it all.
I got to keep it real, Seltzer, all right?
But Cam Latu, not a lot of snaps, but I would love to see more of this young man. He really is a tough football player.
Look, I thought it was the biggest play in the game. I really did. Seltzer, what do you got?
Yeah,
game ball.
I thought about the young cornerbacks, too. Another young player on the defense. But we're a month into this season now, and Zach Bond's real, man. Like, last year was not a mirage. It was not like a...
No.
Dude, he's one of the best players in football.
Amazing.
Like, flat out. I think he's one of the best players
mistakes.
In the sport. That I know they ended up getting the first after. That third and one play, where he ran five extra yards to make that play. I mean, he is all over the field.
Yeah.
I'm so impressed with that guy. He's clearly a leader on that defense. Zach Bond deserves a game ball.
That play reminded me, you might remember a game in like 2016. It was early dog when Sean Lee made a play against an Eagles running back, and it stymied what otherwise would have been an Eagles conversion. Eagles lost the game. It reminded me a lot of that play. Rhea, give me an answer here for a game ball.
I'm going to give it to Vic Fangio because, you know, he's got a compromised defensive line that cannot get after the quarterback. I mean, they're not getting sacks, but he's getting – and he got that unit to play in that second half when they were on the field a lot. I mean, their offense did them no favors to come up with the two huge turnovers, the interception – and the forced fumble. I just think he's the offense is way more talented than the defense, and I trust the defense more.
I do too. I agree with both of those statements. So first half, I was thinking the game ball was going to go to Jalen Hurts and John out of the gate because I thought it was about as well as he's ever played first half. But it's hard to give him game ball when the second half he can't complete a pass. Not all his fault, but obviously he had a role in it. And it is very possible that he was injured from that hit because he took a big hit and it looked like his play dramatically slipped thereafter. But I thought both excellent young corners were excellent plus. Now, they got to control their emotions at times. Quinyon Mitchell, I thought it was well pointed out by Tom Brady, has to be more careful because he could have been flagged three or four different times for grabbing the jersey. But because he was not flagged for those individual ones, I'm going to give it to Quinyon Mitchell. Both guys were all over the field. I thought yesterday was a great example of why Cooper DeJean is a slot corner. His tackling is like a linebacker.
Maybe the best tackling corner I've ever seen.
And that's why they want him in there. They want him in there because he can tackle like a linebacker.
I wanted to give this award to him today because of the way he tackles.
Well, no, it's huge. It's huge.
How awesome he wraps people up. He even though he doesn't have to because he is blasting them.
Yeah.
He is making them go the wrong way. And I love seeing a guy who just smacks people.
I'll officially give it to Quinyon, but to me, it's just about a coin flip between Quinyon and Cooper. Both guys, barring injury, are going to be $100 million players in a couple years when they're eligible for a contract. I mean, major hits on those two draft picks.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Road again, like a band of gypsies, we go down the highway.
Don't know the word.
We gotta learn the words here. We're going to Santa Clara.
My way. We're the best friends. I know that part. But they messed that up too.
Just well, can't wait to get on the road again.
There we go.
Life I love is making music with my friend. Yeah.
Well, we keep winning games. Yeah. We're learning the words. Welcome on in.
Just win, baby.
Yeah, well, that's what the Eagles do. Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Jill, you guys with us. 215-592-9494 on a Monday as the Philadelphia Eagles move to 4-0. They did it again. Kyle's back, healthy, behind the glass.
Yeah, bubble good.
Yeah, we thought we lost him on Friday. Now he's good to go. We got a lot to discuss today. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, I just want to ask people today, before we judge, let's just try to understand.
Oh, stop it.
Let's just try to understand.
Stop it.
What's going on before we pass judgment this morning?
The Reverend is here?
I'm just saying.
The good Reverend.
Before we pass judgment.
The Reverend Hugh Douglas.
Let's try to understand what's going on.
Okay, we'll get to the judgment part of the show. Can we start with the team and a victory?
Yes.
They go down to Tampa.
Victory Monday.
Exercise the demons as the Philadelphia Eagles have, well, an amazing first half and a second half that was so bad offensively, so bad that I thought they were going to blow that thing. That was yesterday an inverse of last week. I mean, it literally was last week's game, just the complete opposite. It starts with the special teams defensive score, right? You know, Sidney Brown picks it up.
Hey.
Yeah, after Cam Lottu blocks the punt, and we get the party starter, and we're up. And the offense in the first half of that game, Hugh, was spectacular. They were on point. Jalen Hurts was basically perfect in the first half of the game. Creativity with a little shovel pass to Dallas Goedert. Everything was awesome in the first half of that football game. And then the second half happened, and they could not muster a first down. They had negative yardage in the second half of the game to the point where they let the Bucs right back in the game. And if not for defensive plays, I mean clutch defensive plays by Jahad Campbell, they probably don't hold on. Hugh Douglas, your reaction as the Eagles go to Tampa Bay. They win. They're 4-0, but it was literally the tale of two halves again, just the opposite way this time.
Exercise the demons in Tampa, which is always great. Mm-hmm. Went down there and they took care of business, man, and the weather was a somewhat of a factor. They did let that hold them back. Yeah, it was a little bit of a hair-pulling situation. I had a chance to listen to it in the car when I was going home. Merrill was not that happy.
I mean, how could he be?
Merrill was not happy in the second half. It was a little doom and gloom, but they were able to pull it out. 4-0, go Birds. Go Birds.
Oh, so we're just going to pretend the second half didn't happen? What do you mean what I'm talking about?
I just told you. What did I just say about what's the most important thing what happened
from
Sunday?
You're going to win as a win us?
Go Birds.
You're going to win as a win us.
Go Birds.
I see what we're doing today. All right, I see.
What do you mean? What am I doing?
What do you mean?
I just said go Birds.
Come on.
Wait a minute. Listen.
Hold on a second. Last week was the jumping off point. Last week was the beginning. So
go Birds.
That's what you got today for us?
Go Birds.
Go Birds.
All go right. Birds.
Hugh Douglas is checked out for the day. Go Birds. The details don't matter. The second
it's
half
only
doesn't
Monday,
matter.
Dude,
what are you talking about?
It's 10:04. It's 10:04. I'm not going to make it to 2 if we're just go Birds and everything.
That's all I'm saying. Go Birds. Yeah. That's all I'm saying. Go Birds.
What happened in the second half?
What you talking about?
But you heard my question.
Okay, full disclosure.
Yeah.
I don't remember the second half.
Oh.
I don't recall.
So we have spin. We have the good reverend, and now we have spin doctor. Head in the sand, Douglas, all in segment one.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You are sickening.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
This might be uglier than the second half offensively.
I don't understand what you mean.
No, you missed it?
Wait a minute. We won, didn't we? It was 25-31, right?
Maybe here's the problem. I asked you what happened, and the answer is nothing. That's why you don't remember.
I don't recall.
You know, you don't recall a second half completion, do you? Because we didn't have a completion in the second half. Zero! What the heck was that after halftime?
All I know is that we're 4-0.
Yeah.
And we're one. It's only one other team that's undefeated. Yeah,
the team you picked to lose every week, Buffalo.
Yeah. I was close, though. Yeah,
no, you weren't. No one thought they were going to win that football game. All right. So here's the reality of yesterday.
Blowout. Yeah. It was not a blowout.
Okay. Yesterday, the Eagles outgained the Bucs 201-99 in the first half.
Yes.
The score was 24-6. And really, it was only 24-6 because the kicker for the Bucs made a ridiculously long field goal. I mean, it was 24-3 until seconds to go in the first half. Jalen Hurts at halftime, 15 of 16 for 130 yards and two touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, I actually thought the first half yesterday was more impressive than the second half last week. Hurts was in command, and it wasn't like...
And they jumped out. They did what you wanted them to do.
Yeah, it wasn't, hey, we're down three scores, we got to throw the ball. It was, we're in control of the game. I thought Jalen against the blitz was awesome. I thought he was accurate.
Read the defenses really well.
Totally. I thought he ran when he needed to, including the one run around the outside to get close to the goal line. I thought he was...
The fake tush push.
Everything about the offense was awesome in the first half of the game. They moved the football. Dallas Goedert involved. Jalen Hurts was, again, doing... They averaged 7.2 yards per play in the first half of that game. In the second half, even if you take out the minus 34 yards rushing on the safety to end the game, right, the punter just ran backwards, even if you take that out, the Eagles were outscored 19-7. And by the way, that 7 was because they got the ball on the 20-something yard line after Campbell forced a fumble on Bucky Irving. But even if you take out the 34-yard negative play on the final safety, which whatever, no one cares about the yards on that, they were outgained 277-33 after halftime. It was like last week's first half in reverse. Hurts in the second half, he was 0 for 8. They didn't complete a pass after halftime. Look, the Eagles win every week, clearly. They are the best team in pro football. They've been that for a year now. And that is the most important thing. But why do they have to be so Jekyll and Hyde in these games? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah, that's the thing that's a little bit perplexing.
Yeah.
When you talk about the way that you started the game yesterday and the way that you ended the game, it's like, okay, what happened when you went into halftime?
Yeah.
You know, I know that there's some probably semblance or people thinking that, you know, in that situation, you want to salt the game away. That's when your running game really starts to pay huge dividends for you.
They can't run the ball right now.
Yeah, I was about to say they couldn't even get that going. And I think that when you have a team that had that much success running the football last year, and you look at the running back still looks the same as he did last year, you got to kind of point to the offensive line and say they're not really doing the job that they've done in the past.
Well, okay, so I think part of that is Lane Johnson now for two straight games has not finished the game. We have some issues now with Lane's health. Hopefully he's going to be okay, but this is two straight. So I think that's part of it. The O-line not holding up for full games is part of it. I don't know what's going on. I just know there's two halves of football yesterday, two different teams just like last week. 215-592-9494. The Eagles win. The Eagles win every week. We expected that. I think we all picked the Eagles to win the game. What stood out the most to you, though? The way they played in the first half or what we saw in the second half? One thing I want to point out before we get to all the phone calls and we get to hear from Sirianni and Saquon Barkley here on the game yesterday. They had their star players yesterday make a lot of amazing plays. I mean, that really the game was won by their stars. I thought Quinyon Mitchell was amazing yesterday.
Key plays yesterday when they needed him.
Boy, he's becoming a all-pro kind of caliber corner. Cooper DeJean was everywhere yesterday. I think he sets the tone for the entire defense. Zach Bond is picking up where he left off last year as an all-pro, and I think Zach Bond right now is our best pass rusher, which probably says something about our pass rush. And Hugh, how about Jihad Campbell? Jihad Campbell, you know, they draft this kid in the first round. Everyone's like, oh, my God, why did he follow the Eagles? Oh, well, he's hurt. He's not going to play. Or he's going to be behind. This guy makes winning plays every week. I mean, he had made two plays that saved the game. The forced fumble on Bucky Irving set the Eagles up for their only score of the second half. And that interception, what an incredibly athletic play. The Eagles have the best, after all those years, Hugh, of the Eagles not prioritizing linebacker, they have the best inside linebacker duo in the whole NFL.
Yeah, man, they're playing well. And when you talk about as hot as it was yesterday and the way that there were lulls in that game as far as defense was concerned. At key moments, they came up with some huge plays, man. And that's kind of what you need when you're talking with your defense and you look at all those stars they have over there. They came up with some key plays at some key moments.
So I thought, they had a couple bombs they gave up, right? The Ibuka play where he just kind of went through the two defenders and Makuba was all twisted up there and it was a big play, explosive play. I thought that one was a mistake by the defense. And then Campbell got caught on that kind of wheel route by Bucky Irving. But I like the way the defense played yesterday. I know they gave up two gash plays, and that made things look worse statistically. I like the way the defense played yesterday. It's the offense that is just confounding me. At times, they look amazing, and at times, they can't get a first down. 215-592-9494. What stood out the most to you? The first half, the excellent offense, or the second half, where they could not move the football at all and almost gave way a 3-score lead. All right, let's hear from Nick Sirianni yesterday after the game. Asked, are you the team from the first half or the second half? Here's what he said.
What offense do you think you are, the one from the first half or the one from the second half?
I don't know, Zach. I mean, hopefully we're the one from the first half.
Well,
I don't know, Zach. What do you think?
What do you think, Zach?
That's the most concise he's ever been.
It was. I like that answer. Mm-hmm.
It's all you little annoyed.
Yeah. Well,
a little annoyed.
Would you be annoyed after watching that second half offense?
Well, you got to be professional.
No,
even
though
Zach was getting on your nerves.
Professional.
Them and Zach.
You got the head coach is jawing with the other quarterback. Professional.
Hey, asking all these hard-ass questions.
Was that a hard question?
Did we win the game? I'm ad-libbing. Did we win the damn game, Zach? Get out of my face. Get out of here.
Yeah, you can't be a Hugh Douglas just say win's a win all the time. All right, Saquon Barkley asks, which team are we? Here's Saquon after the game yesterday.
I think we're both. And that's just, when we're on, when we're firing, we're really hard to stop, especially with the offensive power we have. But when we're playing bad, we're really playing bad. So we just got to do a better job of playing better than worse. That's just the nature of football.
So we got to do a better job playing better than worse? Is that what Saquon said there?
Basically.
We're getting real philosophical on Monday.
You got to reflect and ask self, why are we here? Why are we in this position that we're in right now? We're 4-0. We're not playing our best football, but we're 4-0. And you know what yourself tells you? It says, self, the reason why we're doing this is because we are a team of destiny. We are a team of destiny.
Or call yourself?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Are you talking to yourself again?
I'm metaphorically, having a conversation.
I've had enough of Socrates Douglas over here. 215-592-9494.
We are in a good spot.
They completed zero passes in the second half.
At the end of the score, it was, 35-21 or something like that?
No, that wasn't the score.
It was close. You almost called the score, though, yesterday. It was 31-24? I said that yesterday. Didn't I say something?
You said they won by 10. I thought you picked them by 10.
I promise.
So you don't know the score of the game or what you predicted yesterday. We are flying on a Monday. Kyle, welcome back. Glad to see you're better. What stood out to you, first half or second half? What do you got?
I'm in a weird headspace today about the Eagles because I'll say this. The first half stood out to me the most just because that's sort of the most annoying part of the game to me. Not because of how well they played, but just because why don't we look like that all the time?
It's in them.
With the amount of talent that we've put together on this team. That's the product that we should be able to expect every single Sunday from the Eagles. With the amount of talent they have on offense, the way they're coached on defense. The Eagles should dominate. Everybody. We are a super team, considering the amount of talent that we have. But, it just bothers me that they go so hot and cold. Everybody, whether it's the play calling, the quarterback, alone explosive plays on the defense. That was annoying in the second half. But, why can't they put that together for 60 minutes of football? They should be running through this entire league. Why are they not doing that? It's super frustrating that they put that at, if it was something where they never really looked like that, and they looked all the time like they did in the Chiefs game or in the first half of the Rams game, second half of the Bucks game, then I'd be okay, there's a clear, something is very obviously holding this team back from what it is. I'm just confused. What is holding this Eagles team back from being as great as they should be?
I don't know if I've ever seen a team have as good and bad of halves as they've had in the last two games. It is remarkable what they've done in the last two games to do. They did the same thing in inverse. I mean, they started this game, like Kyle said, it's the way they should look. And then they went to the second half, and it was the way they looked last week against the Rams. All right, so here are their passing yards quickly in the last four halves of football. The first half against the Rams, -1. Second half against the Rams, 203. First half against the Bucs, 130. Second half versus the Bucs, -18. It's almost like they're different teams in different halves. It is remarkable. 215-592-9494. What stood out to you the most? The second half, they almost giving it up. The first half, playing perfect football, really, especially on the offensive side. Let's go to the phone lines here. Chris in Middletown. Hey, Chris.
Chris.
Happy Victory Monday, man.
Good
Victory
morning, Monday. Chris. What's up, buddy?
You can't. Hugh, you're killing me, man.
This guy.
10:04 on a Monday, and we get Gap Year Douglas already in the studio.
Come on.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well have just taken the day off.
Yeah, I mean, we're 4-0.
What do you mean, go Birds? What are you talking about? Go Birds.
Yeah, you cannot go Birds.
How many other teams won four games?
I have one rule. You can go Birds as long as Jalen Hurts completes a pass in the second half. So today you can't do it. Sorry, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Guys, before we address the negatives here, let's talk about the positive. I need Rob Lincoln to get his ears on because Kyle Quinn gets every Friday off now from moving on. The Eagles are 2-0 this year when Kyle's off on football Fridays. So, Rob,
hold on. We played a game before the first one. When I went to a wedding.
Yeah. But you were off the day of the football Friday.
I don't care what the reason is when you're
not. Well, hold on. But you're acting like. No, the timeline doesn't make sense. Wouldn't they have had to have played after I took off?
They're also 2-0 when he's here on the football Friday. They're 4-0, right? Bottom line,
what if I just canned the wedding and then came in that Friday, then your whole thing is moot.
Kyle, I'm trying to give you Fridays off, and you're arguing with me. All right,
I don't want to take Fridays off.
We've got a big month coming up here. We've got the rally for Red October this Friday. Go ahead, Chris.
That's right. Listen, hey, can we address numbers here? Jalen's passing numbers in that game. When he targeted anybody else other than A.J. Brown, he was 13 of 15 for 123 yards and 2 touchdowns. His targets to A.J. Brown, 2-9, 7 yards. What I saw from A.J. was zero separation. I didn't see a whole lot of heart and fight and will there. And it's becoming a problem. I think we need to fix it somehow. But that is a glaring issue there, right? This team is exhausting. They are so inconsistent. It just makes me lose my brain watching them because in the first half, they looked great. You know, they had us laughing at Third Eye Blind Douglas because, you know, his crazy prediction he had on Friday. But then in the second half, you know, they tried forcing the ball to AJ, and the entire offense just wilted in the sun like you people when they leave their mom's basement. So, guys, I don't know what is going on here, but in week 5, we're nearing, you know, it's the end of, you've run out of excuse time. We're no longer wins win anymore. You know, it's about trying to put this thing together because we're done with our patience. And I do have a positive bit of good news that I heard. Per source, Coach Sirianni knows this. And from what I understand, he handed the Clippers to Petula and said, quote, go Brittany. Have a good day.
Oh, wow. Petula's going to shave his head? How about that?
You know, things were going well until Kevin Petullo took back play calling in the second half.
Oh, so yeah. I mean, last week, Hugh, you heard that Jalen Hurts took over play calling in the second half? You know what I heard yesterday? I heard they let Jalen Hurts have it in the first half. It was an extension of last week. And then at halftime, Kevin Petullo went in there and said, give it back. Bam! And then Petullo took it back in the second half, and look what happened.
I feel like you're making fun of me.
I'm just wondering.
Are the good plays
Jalen Hurts' plays and the bad plays Petullo's?
I'm just wondering how this works. I feel like you couldn't wait to have that take this morning.
Well, because we need to go back to reality, and last week we went so far from reality.
I don't know what happened, Joe. I haven't talked to anybody yet.
May I have a theory?
Sure.
Quarterback goes hot and cold. We've been doing this for years, and we try to come up with these theories on why. I don't know. It just goes hot and cold.
Since we out here throwing out theories, maybe it was just hot.
What does that mean?
It was hot, and they got was hot. I was smoking crack.
What does that mean?
That means it was
That's
hot
his excuse.
Out there. Oh, that's not geez. An excuse. I'm just saying, since we throwing out theories.
It was hot in the first half.
It was hot, but it was hotter in the second half when you come in there and come back in. Shout out, like real talk though.
But
shout
the
out
Bucks
to the
be
folks.
Hot, hotter after a full half?
Shout out to the folks that stood there and had the things.
The shade guys.
The shade people.
Shade guys.
Because that had to be a hard job to do. Like standing there in the hot sun, holding up the shade. So shout out to those folks.
Shout out to shade guys. And they did their job better in the first half, right? Is that how this works? They stunk it up in the second half, those
yeah,
shade
that
guys.
Was pretty bad.
Hughes one step from blaming those guys.
I know, yeah. They weren't shading them enough in the second half. Let's go to Sean in Philadelphia. What's up, Sean?
Hey, y'all. What's going on, man?
Hey,
good
Sean.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning to the best radio sports talk show ever.
I tried to tell him. I hit my four-leg parlay yesterday.
How about that? Sean, but we appreciate that, buddy. What are you feeling after that win?
I mean, I'm leaning towards more of the second half, and this is my theory, because I always got a theory. I think this organization is so great to the point where even through adversity, they can control a game. Somebody said I was making excuses, but the second half,
like
they
Kyle.
Just came out. They just came out flat-footed. The defense was holding up the end of the bargain. The offense in the first half did their thing. And the Bucks just came out in the second half a little bit more hungrier. They wanted to get back. They wanted to drive the score up and try to win this game, and they held us to where they held us at. As far as A.J. Brown go, listen, if he feel the way he feel, let him go. He can go. But, of course, we all know that's not going to happen.
I don't want to let him go.
The game is played. Every game is played different. Each team that we play, we had to sit back and decipher how we're going to play that team. And he wasn't open at all. They locked him down. You know, so I don't know if the knee injury is still bothering him or something. He needs to stop reading that book and get back into his space, just like Sutherland. I agree with that.
Yeah, enough book read. I read a lot of books, Sean, but sometimes you got to lock back in. I'm with you. Enough reading books. Sean, I don't know what's going on with the AJ thing. We're going to address it. But, the second half – Sean, I'm less annoyed and frustrated with the defense the second half. They gave up a couple big plays, and that really got the Bucks back in the game. But I thought they buckled down. I mean, great. Jahad Campbell is a player. Zach Bond is awesome. I thought Quinyon was outstanding yesterday. Cooper, it's the offense. Sean, I just don't understand how the offense went from that good in the first half to zero completions in the second half.
I mean, the world would never know. But the thing is, our leader, Jalen Hurts, kept his composure, and he did not make any mistakes. He didn't turn the ball over.
Didn't make any completed passes in the second half either.
I mean, he didn't complete any passes either, but our receivers was locked down. They had nobody was open, so he had to do what he had to do to control the game in that aspect. Even though they came back and was close to winning, and our defense did what they had to do to – get us through.
Yeah, and look, the turnovers thing, it's a huge thing. He hasn't thrown an interception in like 200-something attempts now. And Sean, we appreciate the phone call, dating back to last year with Hurts. And every week it feels like the other team makes one or two mistakes, and the Eagles don't make any in terms of turnovers, or they make one at the most, and that decides the football game. I mean, yesterday, Bucky Irving fumbled. That gave the Eagles their only score of the second half. That really basically won the game. And at the end, Baker tried too hard to make a play. Threw a pick, and that sealed it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We are at Chickie's in South Philly. Jordan Mailata Show coming up at 6 o'clock with Jordan, myself, and Elliot. And then the Players Lounge with Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas. Can you call it? Ike Reese, Hugh Douglas, Elliot Shore Parks, and this week's guest, Tanner McKee. Speaking of the Players Lounge, these chairs, a little more loungy.
Yeah.
It fits the Players Lounge a little bit better, I would say. Right?
Certainly fits a lounge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Jordan ought to be happy with these seats.
I hope they, I mean, he's a big man.
Yeah.
I hope they support him. That's my only.
Yeah. Yeah.
The only hesitation.
You think BG's upset?
Oh, then we waited until
he did the show for 15 years.
Never sat in a good seat.
He was on the bench the whole time.
Yeah. On the wood.
Yeah. Boss.
The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's wants to wish our team good luck this October. Experience the difference with showrooms in Montgomeryville and Mount Laurel. All right, new poll. Which describes more how you feel about A.J. Brown today, annoyed or understanding?
Oh, I guarantee you most people are annoyed by this.
What do you think the poll's at?
Let's go 70%.
52% annoyed.
Oh, only 52.
48% understanding.
Wow.
People love A.J.
Yeah, I do too. I mean, I do too. But they just won a game. We get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
We get it.
Yeah.
We need to get you the ball. Like, you want to be more involved. We get it. We understand.
2 hours after the game ended.
Yeah. Like, we get it.
And didn't delete it, which is an old AJ move.
Did not delete it.
And didn't pull the I was hacked move.
No. He did pull I was hacked a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yes. And then we broke that. No one brought that up. That we broke on the air. It's all the negativity.
But he admitted to it the next day.
Yes, he pretty much admitted to it the next day.
What did you think?
Should I FaceTime him?
Yeah,
Buzz, please.
See your face.
Yeah. Just forehead in the shot. Only your forehead. What do you think of Nick Sirianni jawing with Baker Mayfield?
Well, that's two hotheads right there.
Yep. Yeah,
so... not surprised at all. I would prefer my coach not get involved with any of that, but it didn't seem to get out of hand. But listen, Baker's a talker, and if you're going to talk to Nick Sirianni, he's going to talk back. Like, he's going to talk back. If you're going to talk trash, I don't know how it started.
Right.
Right? So, he's not going to shy away from that if that's what you want to do.
There's been a few of those this year with Nick, I think. The only thing that I thought of when I saw it is we've had a bunch of the personal foul and taunting penalties this year.
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of the times the team is the reflection of the coach.
Uh-oh.
Well, I mean, if your head coach is doing that,
yeah,
it's hard as a coach to tell the players you can't taunt, you can't do this, you can't do that. But I'm here jawing with the quarterback on the other team.
Right.
I just think from a Nick, I like that he's fiery. I like that he cares. I like all those things. I just think he's got to leave that stuff in yesterday. I just think in the evolution of Nick, if you want to be one of the considered, thought of up there with the top coaches in the NFL, because I don't think he gets the respect that he deserves from a winning perspective. Mm-hmm. You look at his record and you look at his accomplishments compared to and think about how long he's been in the league, only 5 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty unprecedented to be there. Yeah. But he doesn't, I don't think, get that national acclaim. And I think part of it is this. And I just think if you have a Jalen Carter who's had a couple of these penalties so far, one that got him kicked out of the game. You had Cooper DeJean had one yesterday. You know, I think it's just hard if you're a coach to tell the players not to do it if you're doing it.
Yeah, the spitting thing is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But some of the other taunting flags are really more of the emphasis that the league is trying to do away with it. Like, I've seen that with Cooper DeJean did. I've seen that a million times in the past, and it was never flagged. Like, it was never flagged. So they are looking to do this stuff now, the penalized players for what's deemed unsportsmanlike. Yeah, I don't think Nick should make a habit of it, and because I never think a coach should get into jawing with players out there on the field. But I understand my coach, too, and I understand every once in a while it's gonna happen with him.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, it just is. I think that – whatever it is in him that gets his blood going, there's something about being – and he's a former player. There's something about being down there in the thick of things that your juices get going. When the opposing team comes jawing at you, it's going to be hard for him to walk away from it. There's a clip out there So Bill Belichick, this happened with Bill Belichick, I believe. There's a clip out there. You can find it. My old college teammate, Derek Mason, used to be a receiver.
I've seen that
in Tennessee and in Baltimore. He's messing with Bill Belichick, jawing at him. And Bill Belichick is like, oh, Mason, why don't you shut the bleep up? Now, Bill's not going to show a lot of emotion there, but that was his reply to D-Mace, who was basically jawing at him over there. Yeah. Nick's just one of those guys, man. I'm
just not sure that Baker was even saying anything to him. I thought Nick was, like, instigating it.
Like, I didn't see how it started.
I think he was jawing Baker for making a bad throw.
Okay.
And that was what was annoying to me. It's like,
okay.
And then it kind of woke Baker up. I mean, Baker played really well but he threw the pick. And it kind of threw everything off.
Uh-oh.
Oops.
Jack slipped.
Freudian slip.
Yeah, I want to be clear. That was Jack.
No, but like.
Not me.
If they came back and won that game, Baker was going to say something about Nick. And I think Nick could have woken them up for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, you don't need to be jawing at Baker Mayfield. You're a Super Bowl winning coach.
Yeah, I didn't see that part of it. Okay.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
Yeah. Okay.
215-592-9494.
Yeah, he does not need to be. Yeah, no. He definitely doesn't need to initiate any of it.
Tim in Maple Shade. You're on WIP. What's up, Tim?
Unfortunately. Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up, Tim?
Yeah, it came out.
It's a first-time caller on your show. I have a question about our coordinator and our head coach.
Okay.
And how it may contribute to the inconsistency of our offense.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking about the tale of two halves in both games, where last week, you know, we were slow, lethargic in the first half. In the second half, we came out like ball busters. Yesterday's game, busters, you know, we felt like a
this
team. And then in the second half... You know, we were really, like, we had no clue. Now, it's one of that contributes to the fact that we have a head coach who can't call plays and an offensive coordinator who has never called plays. I just want to get your opinion on that.
Well, how did the offensive coordinator call the plays in the first half?
Well, I'm thinking that maybe, yes, his preparation for the first half went well, and in the second half he just ran out of ideas. The fact of, you know, their adjustment, the Buccaneers' adjustment,
right.
You know, to our offense,
Buccaneers.
You know, and they just ran out of ideas. And I felt that way when we had those three straight incompletions to A.J. Brown, like we didn't know what else to do on offense in the second half. I just want to get you guys' opinion on that.
Yeah, listen, I don't think play design was the issue in the second half. Seemed more like execution. I don't know what happened at halftime. But it certainly seemed like they came out in the second half with a conservative effort to get the ball to A.J.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so much so, like you said, the three plays, they went straight to him, bang, bang, bang. I don't think we completed any of the three.
Well, and I'll tell you this, if we can't run the ball, the offense thing is going to get tougher. I think if we can't run the ball. Because we haven't been an offense, and we're not going to be an offense. Like the offense that we saw Tampa running, we're never going to do that. We're not going to drop back and throw it 45 times if we don't have to. You know, like
right. You get down 24-3.
But in general, they're more willing to throw the ball, and there are teams that are more willing to throw the ball. We're not. It's just never who the Eagles have been. And if they're not able to run the ball, which I do think to some extent is just an execution issue, I don't think Jordan Mailata is lying when he keeps telling us that it's on them and they're not blocking and they're not executing the way that they did last year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be trouble if we can't run the ball at some point. And I think that contributes to the second half because when they're blitzing, that gives us a way to answer when we're passing the ball. If they're not blitzing anymore, then we got to be able to run the ball. And we weren't able to run the ball in either half last year. I mean, that was the worst game that Saquon's had this year, you know, from a statistical standpoint.
So the response that we get from Jordan Mailata and other players, you don't think that's just a PR response? Because the players are not going to call out their coaches and coordinators. But it just seems like on the field,
well, but what if it's it true? Like but what if it's true? Like, what if the truth is that the offensive line is just not playing well this year?
Yeah.
They're not playing as well. What if Saquon isn't playing as well? It's possible. You know, we've thank you for the call, Tim. We've gotten so used to the offensive line being the best offensive line in football.
Yeah.
At some point, it's not going to be the best offensive line in football. And
well, it's not an automatic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not automatic. You still got to execute and play well.
Yeah. And I think that is entirely possible that is some of it.
Yeah.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.